Fresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. Today's Modern Worship, and we pray that you are having a glorious week and that you will continue to do so. Tonight, we're going to be having our Wednesday evening Bible study for the adults. We have youth service for our young people, and we would like to invite you out to those services. So the past couple of Wednesday nights, I had been teaching, and a week ago, I was teaching on, I was finishing up a sermon that I did on what happens when God breathes. The title of the sermon was actually Inspiration, What Happens When God Breathes. And during that sermon, I made the statement, too many people are looking for motivation from information without inspiration. And one of my men, he's like, I need to hear that again. And so you can catch most of that sermon on our Facebook page or on our YouTube channel. We had updated our computer, and it defaulted our sound output on the computer and caused us to produce a silent movie for the first half of the service. The last 41 minutes, I believe, of the service are online. So in case you didn't know that silent movies were still being made, we make them every once in a while. So, hey, we're going to get into the Word of God today. We're going to be talking about another aspect of things that are partnered with truth in God's Word. And so when we seek God, when we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, we also find that we are going to seek truth, and we get an entourage of other things that go right in the category of that. So today we're going to begin in 2 Chronicles 31, and this is talking about the revival that took place in Israel under the leadership of King Hezekiah. And I'm not going to go into all of the details of everything that went on there, but I want to touch on the conclusion of chapter 31. And it says in verse number 20, "Thus Hezekiah did throughout all Judah, and he did what was good and right and true before the Lord his God, and in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, in the law and in the commandment, to seek his God, he did it with all his heart, so he prospered." So in verse number 20, it talked about that Hezekiah, in fact, he not only extended the invitation to return to godly worship in Judah, he also extended that invitation those around Judah in Israel that had they were getting ready to conquered by the king of Assyria. And so when Hezekiah was acting as king, it said that his actions were good and right and true before the Lord his God. And so I encourage everyone that I get the opportunity to engage with that God knows the truth. And that's a completely different reality than modern philosophy of truth, where they believe that truth is situational or truth is personal. And so you will hear people say things like, well, this is my truth and you have your truth and your truth can't impede on my truth. Well, I want you to know that my truth is irrelevant. God's truth, however, is extremely relevant, and his truth should impact the things that we do. So the thing that I want to point out here is that not only did Hezekiah act in accordance with the things that were true, but he also did what was right. There is a lot of people in society right now that they believe that by any means necessary, you know, use whatever tactics you have to use. I remember hearing about a country when I was growing up, and their philosophy was tell the truth if necessary. And so for them, lying was not off of the grid. For them, stealing was not off of the grid. For them, setting people up, manipulating, murder, and things like that, none of that was off limits to them, because for them, achieving their goals were what was absolutely essential, and it didn't matter by what means you accomplished those things. And I want you to know that is not God's standard. God's standard wants us to do what is true in God's sight, and he wants us to do what is right. So the biblical construct that there is that which is right and that which is wrong is still relevant in 2022. And so if we do not do what is right, I believe God told Cain that if he didn't do what was right, evil was crouching at the door. So there is still right and there is still wrong. But if we are going to seek the truth of God, then it is going to compel us to do what is right. So in that message that I was preaching on inspiration, what happens when God breathes, I came across a verse in Job chapter 32 and verse number 18. And I told the congregation, I said, Job is one of those books that I go into with some serious caution, because I know the historical accounts in the first couple of chapters. I know what God says at the end, but in between there are some statements that you can say, I agree with that. And then at the end, God says, well, you haven't spoken to me what is right like Job has. And there are some of the things that Job says, and it's like, you know, I think that, you know, might not say that to God. That's kind of where I am about that. And so one of the verses, and I felt comfortable enough about this, was in Job chapter 32, verse number 18. It says, the spirit within me compels me. And so if we've got the spirit of God inside of us, like Hezekiah, it is going to motivate us. It is going to compel us. It's going to move us to action. And that action is going to be to do what is right. But if we have ungodly desires living in our heart, if we have an ungodly spirit that is influencing us, it is going to compel us to do that which is wicked, or that which is evil, or that which is displeasing in God's sight. So we don't want to do that. So we need to make sure that the temple of the Holy Spirit is filled with the Holy Spirit, because we want to do that which is true, and we want to do that which is right, and we want to do that which is good. So that I'm not going to talk about that one too much, because we're getting ready to discuss that in the very next section here. So if you'll just hold tight just a little bit, let's go ahead and move on to verse number 21, and it says, and in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, in the law and in the commandment, to seek his God, he did it with all his heart. So I want to challenge you today to do the ministry that you do the job that you have at work, do the things that you do at home, to do it with everything that you have inside of you. Do it to the glory of God. Do not do it reluctantly. Do not do it with hesitation. Do not do it with apathy or complacency, but do it as if you were leaving a monument to the faithfulness of God. Do it with all your heart, because it says, when Hezekiah sought his God in that manner, and he wanted it to be evident in everything that he did in the house of God and the law and the commandment, that he did it with all of his heart. And because of that, he prospered. He was successful. And, you know, there was a king, and he died, and they said, and he died to no one's regret. That was not the case with Hezekiah. When we prosper in our relationship with God, the people around us are going to be blessed as a result of that as well. And so not only when he was before the Lord his God, and he was working before his God, and he was seeking God, but he did that which was true in the sight of God, and it was right, and it was good. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5 for the remainder of the program here. Ephesians chapter 5, where we're going to talk about that along with truth and that which was right, there is also a manifestation of goodness that takes place there. So in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 8, it says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." So we see basically those same three aspects of Hezekiah's life, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." So, here Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, and he says, "You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." So your lifestyle should be one that is noticeably different than it was before you came to know Jesus Christ as Lord. And it says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." So we see that partnership with truth and goodness in this case, as well as righteousness. And it is seen as the fruit of the Spirit. So we want that. I mean, I like being a good person. And in fact, throughout my years, there have been people who have tried to do things that were illegal, and people tried to explain it to me, and I was left scratching my head. It's not that I'm a naive person. It's not that I'm an unintelligent person in some respects. But I could not figure out how in the world they wrapped their mind around that to think that they were going to be successful. So, you know, we all get those phone calls that are just, you know, nagging phone calls, I guess, annoying phone calls. And I have yet to figure out how anybody thinks they're going to make money off that. You know, people who are contacting me and talking about Medicare benefits, and I'm like, I'm not old enough for Medicare. I'm not old enough for that. And so how do you expect to make any money off of that? And so I haven't figured out that. There's, you know, all these people that send out all of these counterfeit text messages and emails and all of that. And it's like, wouldn't it just be easier to go out and get a job? It's just a thought. I think that it is. I think that there's a right way to do it and a wrong way. And sometimes I just can't figure out why people are so obsessed with doing life the hard way. I had a Sunday school teacher years and years ago, and he made this statement. He said, the lowest quality of life has the highest price tag. And people who are always looking for an angle, they're looking for some way to get an advantage over someone else, or to manipulate them, or to steal from them, or something that eventually has a price tag. So when I was in retail, you know, a few decades ago, back in those days, people would have to write a check. There was three ways that you could buy things. There was cash, there was a credit card, and there was a check. And people still carried checks back then. There wasn't as much. There wasn't any digital payment systems at that point in time, other than a credit card. And people would carry their checkbooks, and they would write a check. And if any younger listeners that are out there and you don't know what a check is, talk to your parents or your grandparents, and they can help you to understand that. And so whenever you wrote a check, you had to show some identification. And when they would do that, I wasn't interested in, you know, from a personal standpoint. I knew the information that I had to get off of there for the identification purposes and everything. But I would look at them, and I would see the birth date on there. And if it was anywhere close to mine, I would look at them and say, okay, you know, is that what I look like? You know, I wanted to make sure that I looked younger than what my birth certificate said. Now, when I was, in my early 20s, I still looked like I was 15. And so then I wanted to look a little bit older. But now I've gotten to that place where I want to look younger than what I do. And I just haven't been able to take that leap to dyeing my executive blonde hair anymore. I started off blonde when I was younger, and then it went brown, and then it went executive blonde. And my wife wants me to fix that, but we haven't gone there yet. The fruit of the Spirit is it impacts our lifestyle, and it says because of that, because of the lifestyle that we lead on a day-to-day basis, that we are to find out what is acceptable to the Lord. So there may be things that are acceptable to your boss that are not acceptable to God. We've talked about things like that on the radio program before. There may be things that are legal in America. I can tell you there are things that are legal in America, but they are not acceptable to the Lord. There are places in the country that I could go right now and legally participate in things that are morally unacceptable to God. They would cost me my credentials. So you know what? I don't do those things. I don't want to lose the privilege of ministering on the Lord's behalf. And so I'm not even so concerned about the things that are legal. I'm concerned with the things that are holy and righteous. And that takes a lifestyle. It takes a constant journey where you are finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And I will tell you, the most effective means for finding out what is acceptable in God's sight is reading His Word and praying. If I was to add a third thing there, it would be to sit under the ministry of the Word of God in a local church. Those three things. If I was to add a fourth thing, I would say be in a godly relationship with other people where you can learn from them what is acceptable and what is unacceptable. So those are four practical things. Get into the Word, pray, sit under the ministry of the Word, and hang out with godly people who are also on a journey to find out what is acceptable to the Lord. And it says here, this is contrasted with verse number 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Verse number 11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. So you have the fruit of the Spirit, and you have the unfruitful works of darkness. So if I were to ask you, do you want to be fruitful or unfruitful? Hopefully you would say fruitful. Because when Jesus came to the fig tree and he expected to find fruit on it and he didn't find any, it didn't end up well for the fig tree. Jesus told the parable about the landowner that had come for 3 years to a tree that was on his property to find fruit, and he didn't find any, so he was going to have it uprooted and said, why does it occupy the ground? If it's not going to be fruitful, why do I want it around? You and I were created by God to be fruitful, not unfruitful. And I will tell you that fruitfulness and faithfulness go together. They are partners. And so it is not one or the other, it is both and. So if there are areas of your life that are ruled by darkness instead of light, Paul writes to the church of Ephesus and says the solution to the problem is expose it to the light. Don't hide it. Don't conceal it. You know, in our society right now, there are a lot of people who hide behind their digital keyboards and they think that they're going to be okay because nobody knows them. But if anybody ever finds out who you actually are, there can be consequences to that. You know, there are people who, you know, I'm just not into the alternate reality type stuff, the virtual reality, all of that. There's some warning signs that go off there for me. But there are people that create their own avatar and things like that, and they think, oh well, nobody's ever going to know. There is a commercial where people are playing and they're having a great time in the game, and they find out that, you know, the person next to them is making noise, and they both can't stand their neighbors, but come to find out they're the neighbor of one another. Let's instead of looking for a way of escape and a way to conceal our identity, let's look a way to transform our reality into the things that God wants us to be a part of. Verse number 12 says, "For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light." So you expose it to the light. Verse number 15 talks about the lifestyle again. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil." And so that takes us right back to where Hezekiah was. Hezekiah did that which was good and right and true in the sight of God. He did his work with all of his heart, and because of that, he prospered. But he didn't realize that, you know, he had an appointment with eternity. We all are going to have an appointment with eternity. At some point in time, should the Lord tarry in his return, we're all going to have an appointment with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And sometimes that appointment comes up without notice. So I tell people who are, you know, they like to debate on the timing of the end times and all of that. And I have my beliefs, but I'm not an absolutist. I'm not one that says absolutely, look, you've got to believe exactly like I do believe, or we're done in this process, because the reality is I don't think any of us really know where we are on God's timeline. All I know is I believe the return of the Lord is very, very close. What I do tell people is this: I need to be ready to meet Jesus today, because I could get in my car on the way home from the radio station and not make it back to the church. And at that point in time, wondering about when the rapture is going to take place, would be a completely unnecessary thing for me, because it's just not going to matter. I transported a gentleman to a funeral way back when I was interning at a church, and the pastor asked me to drive this elderly man down to a funeral, and he said that he had quit listening to this one particular preacher because he had made a statement, well, the return of the Lord could come any day now, or it could come not for 100 years. And the guy said, I quit listening to him because everybody knows that Jesus is coming back before 1987. Well, here we are. It's 2022. The Lord has not come back yet. And I will tell you, both the man that he was talking about and he have both gone on to be with the Lord. And it wasn't through the rapture. They are the dead in Christ, which shall rise first. So I want to redeem the time that I've got. I don't want to waste it. I don't want to live unfruitfully. I don't want to live a lifestyle of darkness. I want to live seeking the truth of God, walking out the truth of God. I want to live seeking the righteousness of God and living a righteous life. I want to live seeking the goodness of God and living out the goodness of God. And I want to redeem the time because the days are evil. So there are two things that motivate sports teams when it comes down to the end of the game. And that is whether there is something to play for. Either they are behind, or the second thing is there is some sort of advantage that will be theirs, or achievement that will be theirs if they keep pressing forward. And so in football, the thing that motivates them is if they're down by a significant amount of points, they begin to run their hurry-up offense. They realize that the time is running out on them. They have a limited amount of time, and they need to hurry. Folks, I want you to know that there's time that's running out on people. Whether it's the rapture or whether it is their appointment to stand before God, time is running out, and we need to be redeeming the time because the days are evil. And that time is redeemed when we live fruitfully, not unfruitfully. So walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Redeem the time because the days are evil. I pray that truth and goodness and righteousness will manifest in your life today. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Completely free.